So we're really starting in 2011 and saying over the next 5 years, we as the federal government have a goal of hiring 100,000 people with disabilities. And what we've seen is incredible success. We've made a commitment to hiring people with disabilities, and the disability community is delivering. We have more people with disabilities in federal service now than at any point in the past 34 years. That's by percentage and by real number. We hired a higher percentage of people with disabilities into the federal government than at any point in history. And that's, again, by percentage and by real number. No matter how you look at this data, we're doing amazing stuff. And again, I think the reason that this happens is because we as people with disabilities have incredible things to offer any workforce. And when you commit to hiring us, we're going to give you what you need. And so we are on track to meet the president's executive order and all the goals therein.
So when is that actual deadline then? It sounds like it's not until 2016.
Yes. So we're going to be counting 5 years from FY11 is essentially what it comes down to. So yeah, they've still got some more time, and we really want to push and encourage them to continue moving forward. So it's not over yet. We still want to make it happen.
The past few years have been also very hard for hiring in general because of budget cuts and so forth. So what are some of the strategies that you've seen that agencies have been able to use to stay on track, even though they might not be able to hire as many people as they would like?
Yeah, and what we've seen agencies really step up to the plate and do is say, okay, we've got specific goals that we need to meet. And that may change the percentage of how many folks we bring in. And so the first thing that's really valuable is saying, what is your goal? What is your target? And who's being held accountable for those targets? And having a plan for implementing those. And then you've got to do outreach, recruitment, ensuring that you're reaching out to the disability community and welcoming them into federal service. And then we've got to make sure that our reasonable accommodation policies and procedures are strong. And then we've got to make sure that we retain folks. If we bring folks in and they don't stay with us, then we're really not moving in the right direction. So there are a lot of retention strategies that we focus on that work for everybody, not just for people with disabilities. For example, a lot of folks do exit interviews, but how many folks do stay interviews? This is the concept where I come to you and say, you're an amazing employee. How can we get you to stay at Federal News Radio? And those kinds of things make a difference. And so a lot of practices go into that all over the place.
One of the things that you presented at this EEOC Excel conference was why people leave the federal government. And there were some differences between people with disabilities and people without disabilities. Can you go over that?
Absolutely. So what we know is that typical attrition calculations for minority populations don't work on the disability community because we're one of the few communities that folks join over time. And so the older you get, the more likely you are to acquire a disability. It's just a natural part of the human experience, right? The more hair I lose, the more my knees hurt. And so we want to ensure that we're looking closely at that data. And so when we parse out and break down the data, what we see is that the major reason that people with disabilities leave federal service is because they're retiring. And that's at a few percentage points higher than people without disabilities. And for me, what that tells me is not only do folks with disabilities come in and stay with federal agencies, but that they're a good investment. The second biggest reason that people with disabilities leave federal service is because of resignation. And that's at a few percentage points lower than people without disabilities. So we as people with disabilities actually resign at lower rates than people without disabilities, which again shows me we're a good investment. Now, one of the areas where the federal government has to improve is ensuring that folks with disabilities who are removed because of conduct and performance or performance are removed at we can close that gap between people with disabilities and people without disabilities, because as we look at it right now, what we see is that people with disabilities are removed at higher rates than people without disabilities.
Do you think that's just a matter of education?
No, I think it's a matter of a lot of things. Part of it is education. Part of it's making sure that we have good matches for the jobs from the very beginning. Part of it's making sure that we've got reasonable accommodations in place. Part of it also comes back to those of us with disabilities and making sure that we're educated and ready to enter the workforce and continue with what we're doing. But with all of that being said, the primary thing that I think we need to focus on is that people with disabilities are a great investment, and any business who invests in us is going to get a great employee. We resign at lower rates. We stay with you until we retire. And there are some issues around removal, but those are things that we as a business can fix, and that people with disabilities are a good investment.
You've advised companies like Walmart, if I heard correctly, mm-hmm. about hiring and working with employees with disabilities. And with all of these, with past laws and the executive order, it all talks about the federal government being a model employer. So when you look at the federal government versus some big companies, where do you see the government as a model, and where can the government learn from the private sector?
Yeah. So one of the areas that the federal government has excelled at and we're really demonstrating to the rest of the world is around collecting data. We've been keeping track of disability demographic data since 1974, a year after the passage of the Rehabilitation Act of 1973. And what we know is that people with disabilities will disclose that they have a disability when it's confidential, it's in a private way, and when we create an open and welcoming environment where people feel that they can disclose. And that's one of the things that that a lot of the private sector can take with them, is that you can do this too. You can set goals, you can have accountability, and you can keep track of the data in a confidential way, and people with disabilities will work with you because it makes for a better business. Now, from the private sector, one of the things that I've seen, for example, Walmart, they pre-approved 500 reasonable accommodations. You ask for it, you get it. And in a lot of ways, that makes sense from a business perspective, because there's less process, there's less paperwork, and it costs less. And we're also just ensuring that folks who need things to get their work done are given it in a quick and efficient manner. And I think that that's a really valuable lesson that we can learn. But there are lots of lessons that we can learn from Walgreens. For example, when they, at their distribution centers, they have high percentages of people with disabilities. And what we see is lower accident rates, higher retention rates, higher overall employee satisfaction rates. So the private sector is doing some really incredible stuff too.
When you look at all the data, now it seems like we're in the final stretch of reaching that goal of 100,000 new hires in 5 years. What does it suggest in terms of the next goal for the government?
Yeah, I think that the executive order on hiring people with disabilities was a kickstarter. It was an opportunity for us to refocus our energy and efforts. But we still have to continue to focus on people with targeted disabilities and all other disabilities. But we also, our goal was to have the federal government reflect the society that we serve. And as people with disabilities are the nation's largest minority population, we're still not there. Even though we've done incredible work and we've moved in the right direction, our work isn't going to be done until we truly reflect the America that we serve. And that's going to require us to continue pushing the envelope, to set more goals, to set more initiatives, to continue to push so that we can include more and more people with disabilities until it becomes just a natural part of the workforce. And hopefully, when I retire, my kids will look at me and say, "What do you mean people with disabilities didn't work?" And I'll say, "Yeah, that's what I did." And they'll think that that's crazy. And that's my goal.